Christmas goodies, Christmas cookies, Christmas goodies, Christmas cookies, Christmas goodies, Christmas cookies, and on and on. Christmas fudge, Christmas music. It's always a dilemma in our house whether we're going to start playing Christmas music before or after Thanksgiving Day. And this year, I think, was the first time. I usually put my foot down and say, we're not going to do Christmas music till after Thanksgiving. But this year, with all the snow, I think it was a setting a precedent. We actually started it before. Love the Christmas music. We just have it playing all the time in our house. And one of the songs that kind of caught my ear this year, it seems like one always, I make the mistake of on Pandora making a thumbs up, and then it seems like every 7 or 8 songs it plays that same song, so it gets stuck in our head. But it's from that very classic, and I'll say just biblically based movie, Home Alone. And it's called Somewhere in My Memory, and as I was singing through, it's such a beautiful song, I can't believe it came from that movie, because it doesn't seem like it fits, but Somewhere in My Memory, and I was listening to it, and I found myself singing the words to it. And I'm going to read you the words, the lyrics to, it's just a short song, one verse. But it paints a picture of Christmas. It says this, candles in the window, shadows painting on the ceiling, gazing at the fire glow, feeling that gingerbread feeling, precious moments, special people, happy faces I can see, somewhere in my memory, Christmas joys all around me, living in my memory. All of the music, all the magic, all the family, home here with me. Just such a beautiful song and really kind of captures Christmas. But then as I thought about it and I was singing about the lyrics, I thought, wait a minute, they're missing the very foundation of Christmas. A lot of times there's shows on TV advertised and singing about the holiday special and there's no Christmas songs. Like, wait a minute, what holiday are we celebrating? It's important as we go through all these traditions and all these memories and all the busyness and all of the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season and all the joys that we can have, yes, but never to forget why we celebrate Christmas and how we should celebrate Christmas. We must work through all the stress, the distractions, and focus on the peace and goodwill of Christ that Christmas brings. The fact that through the wonderful gift of a baby, the world now has two main foundational things that we need. One is negative and one is positive. We now have the positive access to enjoy God's peace, God's joy, God's rest, and God's love. While also, number two, and this is also technically a positive, but it's based on a negative, we have a problem. But because of our problem, we not only now have joy and access to God's joy and relationship, we now have a way to escape punishment. We now have a way to escape God's wrath, God's justice, God's punishment from sin. Tonight, I just want to they said an hour and 15 minutes. I think I have a bad reputation or something. It's going to be more like 10 or 15 minutes. But I just want to share a quick 5 main truths for us to dwell our thinking on, to found our thinking on this Christmas season. 5 things about Jesus, 5 foundational truths about Jesus that we should focus on. With all the hustle and bustle, with all the songs, with all the goodies, remember these foundational things and let's found our thinking and our joys, and our traditions, and our memories on these 5 things. Number one, they're all about Jesus. Jesus is, number one, our prophesied hope. Amen. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us, and it's important to note that this is written 700 years before Jesus came as a baby. But it's describing him. He's prophesied hope. The prophet Isaiah says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God, and he is our prophesied hope. Number two, Jesus is our predicted replacement, our substitute. Isaiah 53, 3 through 7, and once again written well before him, but prophesying of Jesus Christ that he would suffer in our place as our substitute, as our replacement for our problem of sin. It says this, Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 7 says this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. A lot of people today hide their faces from Jesus. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't give him the glory he was due. He didn't get that while here on earth. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded on the cross for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities in our place. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. The court trial of Pilate, he was silent. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Reminds me of John the Baptist's words of Jesus. He says this, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him in John 1:29 and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is our predicted replacement, our substitute. And now a foundational passage for Christmas is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how it happened. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph before they came together physically, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And here's the point. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's our predicted replacement, our substitute. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this is a quote of Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus, Savior, the one who saves. One last verse for the fact that Jesus is our predicted replacement for our sins, our substitute for our sins. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man, Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came. Why did he come? We need to found our thinking on the fact that Jesus came as our replacement, our substitute in our place for our sins. That's significant. Number three, not only is Jesus our prophesied hope, our predicted replacement, he is our source of true joy and peace. Luke 2, 1 through 20 was read tonight. It's another foundational Christmas story. I'm not going to read all those verses, but within that passage is verses 8 through 14. Focus on the thoughts of joy and peace in this passage. It says this, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The shepherds were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, he explains in three ways, a Savior, which is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You may say, well, the world's not at peace right now. But here's the fact. God has now figuratively given mankind the olive branch. We are now are at peace with God only through Jesus Christ, the Savior, Lord, and Messiah. Man can now have peace with God through Christ. That's significant. Number four, not only is Jesus our prophesied hope, our predicted replacement, our source of true joy and peace, he is also our gift of love. Love revealed. Probably the most famous verses in all of the Bible, John 3:16 and 17. They're mentioned tonight. For God so loved the world. A loving God. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Only through Jesus. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's love revealed. And then love realized. Romans 5:8-9. But God commendeth, or God showed, he proved, he demonstrated his love toward us, toward mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, that means he had no obligation to do so. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. He sacrificed himself for us. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We can escape punishment, the wrath of God, through Jesus Christ. That's significant. Then number five, Jesus is the Savior and Redeemer for our sin. Not only is Jesus our prophesied hope, our predicted replacement, our source of joy and peace, our gift of love, he is also our Savior and Redeemer for our sin. 1 Timothy 1:15 says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why did Jesus come? Don't lose the significance. He came as a prophesied hope, our predicted replacement, our source of joy and peace, as a gift of love from God the Father, and as our Savior and Redeemer for our sin. So what's the result? What do we do with this? So what? What's the conclusion? The results of Jesus coming down to earth. Why celebrate this? Well, number two, there's two main things, foundational reasons why we should celebrate Christmas. I mentioned them at the beginning. Number one, because we can escape punishment from sin through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And number two, not only can we escape punishment, which is a negative thing, we can also enjoy relationship and fulfillment with God through Christ. Amen. Summary of all this is found in 1 John 4:9-11. It says this, and this was manifested or showed, demonstrated the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, that should be a natural response, but that he loved us. Why would he do that? And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction for our sins in our place. Amen. Verse 11, here's the reaction. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So what about you? I'll just say this. There's three main reactions to the birth of Jesus. There's three main reactions to Christmas. I'll say everybody in this room, including myself, is in one of these categories. First of all, those who ignore and reject the birth of Christ. Maybe they're ignorant of the birth of Christ. Maybe they've never been told about the significance of the birth of Christ. Second group are those who maybe know about the birth of Christ, but they're distracted by the busyness and cares of life. Maybe they're distanced themselves from it. Those who are distracted and distant from the birth of Christ. from Christ. And then number three, those who not only receive the significance of Christmas, they celebrate it. So what's your reaction? What is your reaction to the fact that Jesus is our prophesied hope, our predicted replacement, our joy and our peace, our completeness, our gift of love, our Savior, our Redeemer from our sin? Number one, will you ignore and reject the opportunity that have been given to you by Jesus Christ? Will you ignore and reject it? Number two, will you distance yourself and be distracted by it with the busyness of life? And number three, will you receive it? Will you enjoy that relationship? Will you enjoy the fulfillment and completeness that Christ can bring your life? The joy, the peace, the confident expectation, the completeness through Christ, and then celebrate that new life in Christ. You may say, how? How do I enjoy this relationship with Christ? How do I escape punishment? How do I enjoy relationship? Some have said it's as easy as ABC. Number one, admit that we're sinners. That's easy. We're sinners. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we cannot have a relationship with God on our own strength. We must do it through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to access this wonderful, loving relationship with God. Number two, believe that Jesus is God the Son who came down to earth to die for your sins. He was buried. He was really dead. And he rose again because he conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that. Death, burial, and resurrection of God, of Jesus. He was God, come in the flesh for our sins, in our place for our sins. Admit that we're sinners. Believe that Jesus is God. He is who he said he was. And then letter C, number three, choose to call upon Jesus to be your Lord, your Master, your King, your Savior. Ask forgiveness for your sin. Amen. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Right. Romans 10:9, 10 and 13 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I invite you tonight to receive the relationship with God through Jesus Christ so that you too can celebrate Christmas with joy, with peace, with fulfillment, and the completeness that Jesus Christ offers. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the fact that you are our gift of love. You are our source of joy. You're our Savior, your Redeemer. You are our Redeemer. Lord, you came as a humble child. So many people want to keep you as a child because we can control a little baby in a manger. But Lord, the reality is you grew up. You lived a perfect life, set a perfect example. And you died on the cross as a sacrifice in our place. Lord, you did that so that we could escape punishment. We can enjoy relationship. Lord, I pray that as we search our souls tonight, that we would react and we would respond the way that you want us. Help us not to ignore. Help us not to reject. Help us not to be distracted from the significance. Help us not to be distant. But Lord, help us to receive and celebrate the wonderful gift that we have been given through you.